So good to be back with you again to hear those great choruses and hymns of the faith. That's one of the reasons I was writing this letter, as you know, just by way of a little review. Last week we shared with you that my intent was to write about the salvation we have in Christ Jesus. And there's so much that we can write about and live in that salvation we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure you would all agree. In fact, like our brother Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And we wanted to share with you all of those new things. But the Holy Spirit put upon my heart instead to write about contending for the faith that was once and for all delivered unto the saints. And just by way of a quick review, if you follow, I'll read just the beginning of my letter. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God, the Father, and kept by Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write to you to urge you to contend for the faith that was once and for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men, whose condemnation was written about long ago, have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. That was the plan and is the plan that the Holy Spirit has for all of us, to contend for that faith that God has entrusted to us. That faith can be summarized in the gospel and all the elements and all the riches of God's grace in the gospel and how we have life in Christ through the message of that good news, don't we? You know that, don't you? Well, I'd like to continue on in this letter that I've written to the churches. Though you already know all of this, and I know many of you do, if not all of you know this, but I want to remind you that the Lord did deliver his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. I want to give you three examples of how God judges sin, because God will judge sin. You know that, don't you? But also when we consider what the church is faced with, and that of false teaching, the cult and the occult. Not only false teaching, but we also have those who are apostates, who have left the faith. And so we need to, again, contend for that faith and stand firm and speak out and share that life in Christ Jesus through a life that's lived for his glory. But I want to continue in this letter that I've written to the church under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about these examples. And you see there in the letter before you, there are three examples. First of all, Israel in the wilderness. God judged Israel. They were his people. Why, he redeemed them. He delivered them from Egypt, from slavery, didn't he? And they wandered there and for 40 years in the wilderness. And God says in the book, in his book, that he judged those who did not believe. They did not enter into his rest. They did not enter into the promised land. And so as an example for us today, as a reminder that God will judge, he will judge unbelief. Now, unbelief that was certainly demonstrated in the life of the Israelites back then. My people, they had the promises of God that you sung about this morning through their father Abraham. They had the promises of God spoken to them through Moses, God's servant. But they didn't believe. And some of the signs of unbelief, and maybe you've seen it, crouching up into your own heart. I don't know. But sometimes I've got to guard my own heart because some of the things that lead to unbelief is complaining. Oh, how they murmured and groaned. A sign of unbelief. Just the beginning. But then they distrusted God's word. He promised that he would provide for them. After all, he redeemed them, didn't he? And if he could do all of that. And you see, the Israelites saw all the miracles of God. And still they didn't believe. And that disbelief, that unbelief, was first expressed in murmuring, complaining, and grumbling. But also there's another example that I've written before you is that of the fallen angels. Just as God judged his people Israel there in the wilderness, and he did, God judged the fallen angels, those that fell in rebellion. You see, apostasy for the Israelites there under God's judgment was unbelief. But the apostasy that was in the hearts of the angels that fell in rebellion, that was the problem. They rebelled against God's will. They didn't want that place that God had called them and created them for. And so following their lead, their leader, Satan, they were cast out. And God tells us that he cast them out of heaven because of their rebellion. Satan along with the others. In fact, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tells us that he was there. He saw that. For he is God. He is eternal. And he saw when Satan was cast out of heaven with the fallen angels. Now we need some of those fallen angels became demons here on the earth. And there are demons, you know, to be sure. But some of those fallen angels that also rebelled, as you see here in this letter, got bound in chains, waiting for the day of judgment. And that day is coming. The day of the Lord will come for them, as for true for all apostates and all who rebel against God's will. And the third example that I've shared with you in that letter, you've heard of Sodom and Gomorrah, haven't you? Those two cities that God poured out his wrath and judgment upon. In fact, today we have the word sodomy because of what it reflects there in the history of Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, how wicked and vile they were. God gave them ample time to repent, but he judged them, didn't he? You realize right now there's nothing left of where they were. There's nothing there. God removed them in his judgment. I believe the reason the Holy Spirit gave me these three examples, Israel from unbelief, for judge of God, the fallen angels in rebellion were judge of God, Sodom and Gomorrah and all of their wicked sexual immorality. And that included homosexuality too. In fact, you can read about that in Genesis 19. Homosexuality is wrong. It is not the unforgivable sin. If the people of Sodom and Gomorrah had cried out to God and repented, I'm sure, I know that he would have forgiven them. Paul tells us about that, doesn't he? That is not the unforgivable sin. There in one of his letters to the church, he reminds believers there in Corinth that they were some that were drunkards, gossip, thieves, murderers, and homosexuals. He said, but you are now cleansed and sanctified and saved. Sodom and Gomorrah did not repent. In all of its wickedness and vileness, God poured out his judgment. You see, with these examples, and there are so many, many more, if God judged sin then, will he not also today? Will he not? Yes, he will. Now, whether it's something that just comes natural in the course of 40 years and God brings judgment and death, as he did with the Israelites, or if it's something that is waiting for the final judgment, those who are bound in chains, those fallen angels, there in Tartarus, or there those who are still in Hades, judgment will come, or if it was sudden, like upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, God judges sin. That's why it's so important for you and I to contend for the faith of the gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, all the more in these last days that you and I live in. I wanted to bring up a present application, and here I did in my letter. Now I borrowed from, you probably have never read it, but many have. It's a book, it's called The Assumption of Moses. And by using an illustration from that book, I'm not saying that it's part of the canon or part of the Bible, but I'm just using it as an illustration. You understand that, don't you? And also I use portions of the book of Enoch. And again, I'm not ascribing its inspiration as the other books of the Bible, for they are not. But I want to use them as illustrations. It's about these people that have come into the church. As you see in the letter that you have before you, these people that I spoke about in the very beginning of this letter, that are ungodly, they don't fear God, they have no reverence for God or the things of God. Just like those fallen angels, they didn't fear God or reverence Him. And these people today that would come into the church and bring their apostasy, their false teaching, and corrupt, they also pervert the grace of God, as back then too. Saying God is so gracious and so forgiving, you can go ahead and do whatever you want. Don't worry, God won't judge you. How many times have we heard this? How many times have we maybe thought this too? You see, these people, they also pervert the grace of God. Not really realizing, as the Apostle Paul also said, the grace of God trains us for godliness, doesn't it? You know that. But these people also deny the lordship and the sovereignty of God in the person Jesus Christ, our Savior. So all the more reason the Holy Spirit wants this message to ring out clear as a clarion call of warning to the church today, that the gospel would not be perverted, not be forgotten, but proclaimed all the louder and the stronger. Can't wait until this comes out in the book form. These people, they rely on dreams. Why? Well, they claim that they've had a dream from God, and they claim that that dream is inspired revelation. We have that today too, don't we? Instead of relying on the Word of God, the true revelation from God. And so they become their own authority is what they're doing. I have a dream, they say, and God has told me to do this. Contrary to the Word and to the will of God. God never contradicts His Word. He never contradicts His will. He never goes against the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ. But these people relying on dreams, they defile the flesh. They also enter into spiritual immorality and try to get others within the church to do that. If you read any of the letters from the Apostle Paul to the churches there in Corinth, how easily it is to be led astray, isn't it? All the more reason, as the writer of Proverbs says, we must guard our hearts. For out of our hearts comes the spring of life. That life is in Jesus Christ. That's why the Holy Spirit so moved me to write this letter. As a warning, yes, but to equip us together in the body of Christ. They not only defile the flesh and encourage others to defile the flesh in all sorts of immorality, but they also reject the authority of God's Word. You see, when God says that's sin, it always will be sin. It never changes. It is always sin. But these who have their dreams say, oh, no, no. These are new days. There's a new morality. Which you and I know is nothing more than the old immorality, isn't it? They not only reject authority, but they blaspheme. They blaspheme the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and misuse that name. They blaspheme the things of God and misuse those things and say that they are the authority now in the church and deny the Word and the will of God. I've given you an illustration. Michael, You remember Michael the archangel? There were a number of archangels that God created, Michael being one of them. A prince and protector of the Israelites. We see that as you read in the prophet Daniel. But there in the book, just using it as an illustration, Michael contended with Satan because Satan wanted the body of Moses. Remember that Moses died? Moses did not enter into the promised land, did he? Because of disobedience. What a loss. But that's what sin does. And we're told in God's word that Moses was buried by the Lord there in the valley of Moab, near Beth Peor. But the illustration that I wanted to use is that Michael, though contending with Satan over the body of Moses, Michael did not rebuke or did not in any way revile Satan, though Satan is to be reviled in many, many ways. But Michael said, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. You see, even Michael, an archangel, beloved of God, created by God, did not refute in his own name even Satan. If that's true, how much more we who are men and women of flesh and blood, yes, created by God, yes, in the image of God, how much more should we think that we have some kind of authority or some kind of power and to blaspheme the things of God? And to blaspheme the things that God created. God has the authority. We are not to profane. We are not to make common the things of God. Oh, yes, indeed, we have victory. You have victory in Jesus Christ over Satan. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Yes. But remember, the victory's in Christ, not ours. Not in our strength, not in our wisdom, not in our power. If we think that, then we're blasphemers. We're not attributing the things that rightly are to be attributed to God our Savior, Jesus Christ. Why have I written these things? To warn, to encourage, to let us all know that as you and I contend for the faith that was once and for all entrusted to us by God Himself, we must do that today in these last days. For there are those who are apostates, who come into the church seeking to destroy the church. There are those who are false teachers based on dreams, not on the Word of God. We need to stand firm in the Lord and on His Word. We need to speak forth, not be mutes, to speak forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to shine forth that life, that a life of godliness, lived for Christ and Christ alone. Will you do that? We do live in the last days. And just as God judged Israel, the fallen angels, Sodom and Gomorrah, His judgments are coming. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that you would strengthen us in your grace, that we would be indeed people of your gospel, in your strength, in your power alone, to make us stand firm. Help us to speak out, speaking forth your word. Help us to be aware of our own hearts that can be so easily influenced and directed by the wrong. Oh Lord, help us to guard our hearts. Help us to hide your word in our hearts as part of that garrison for our thoughts and intentions within us. Help us, Lord, we pray, to speak for and shine forth your light before others that are living in darkness, that are dying without hope, without Christ, that they too might hear that pure and wonderful gospel of hope, that gospel of grace, that if men, women, and boys and girls would but repent and believe in you, Lord Jesus, they would be saved. Embolden us, Lord, we pray, that we would stand up for you. In your name we pray. Amen. Would you turn with me to hymn number 618? Actually, it's going to be on the board.